Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 15:23 says, "A person gets joy from the answer of his mouth, and how good is a word in its proper time." This proverb is presenting a form of synonymous parallelism, but we can notice that the second line is more specific than the first line, and therefore the second line can help us to understand the meaning of the first. The reason we need to consider the second line in conjunction with the first is because of the generality with which the first line is worded, since it simply reads, "A person gets joy from the answer of his mouth." One of the first things to note is that the proverb is identifying the answer as coming from the person's own mouth. Thus, it is not an answer that one hears, but rather an answer that one gives. The Hebrew literally reads, "in the answer of his mouth," where the word mouth is a metonymy that refers to what a person speaks with their mouth. Furthermore, the first line is not claiming that a person experiences joy just from the fact that they formulate and respond with any sort of answer. They could be uttering nonsense or simply speaking the first thought that comes to their mind. The answer is not just a convenient speculation or trifling comment, as that is not in accord with the overall theme of the Book of Proverbs, which is to speak with wisdom. Moving on to consider the second line, the word "word" refers idiomatically to a short statement or conversation. We might say something today like, "May I have a word with you, please?" to convey our desire to converse with the person. It is simply a shorthand reference to talking in general. The word "word" in the second line, it parallels the word "answer" in the first line. Thus, in light of the parallelism with how the second line helps to inform our understanding of the first line, the answer that produces joy is one that corresponds to an effective response that is composed and delivered at the right time with careful consideration and insight that benefits all those who hear it. The person giving the answer can be joyful and glad because of their apt response to a circumstance that resulted in a positive impact upon the listener. The joy comes from giving such a fitting answer because the answer benefited and helped those who heard it. I think that most of us can relate to what the proverb is saying. I can sure agree with it because that's been my experience. When I've been with a friend or someone in my family and was able to provide information, advice, or suggestions, and I then subsequently witnessed the direct impact on their lives, either in their decision-making or their attitude or emotions or just their appreciation, I feel a sense of joy or happiness in the way that I have been able to positively contribute to their lives. I remember this one time, one of my brothers had become severely frustrated because they had a list of chores that our mom had left for them to do before they were allowed to go and play with their friends. I stood there for a couple of minutes, listening to my brother rant and rave and vent his excessive displeasure with having to do all this work before he was able to leave. Then, when he seemed to settle down a little bit and was taking a breath between his verbal eruptions based on his mountain of disgruntled feelings, I interjected and said, "Complaining is procrastinating. The longer you talk, the longer till you can walk." Now, I had to explain a little bit of what I meant by that with my brother, but at that moment, my brother's demeanor began to change, and he realized that he was only delaying what he wanted. A few seconds later, he went scurrying off to get busy and getting the chores accomplished as quickly as he could. Now, I don't think he was happy about having to do the work, but his attitude about it and what he decided to do definitely were different than before. Returning now to the proverb, in the second line, the attribution of the word that is spoken as being good is explained as one that is given in its proper time. The Hebrew word translated "in its proper time" literally means "in its season," which is an idiom that conveys the idea that when the time is right. It might help to think about this idiom in terms of agriculture, where a farmer doesn't plant seed out of its season because otherwise it won't grow. So too, a word planted out of season will not yield the fruit it could have if it was spoken in its season. To say something helpful or insightful at the wrong time prevents it from having its intended benefit. Understanding that a word must be spoken in its proper time is an important addition to the context of the proverb, because there are many good ideas and answers about life that people may have, but the true value of an answer is found only when it is given at the right time. And so we can understand the sort of answer that we're to give in the first line is that it's not only to suit the need of the occasion, but it's also to be delivered at the appropriate moment. Now, one question that might arise is, how do we know that we should understand the context surrounding the type of answer that the proverb is envisioning in this way? Well, one of the best places to start is by establishing what is the overall tone and perspective of the book of Proverbs concerning the subject of speaking and answering. From reading Proverbs, we can gather that there is a focus not just on speaking what is right, true, and beneficial, but also on how and when one should speak. For example, in Proverbs 25:11, it says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper moment." And Proverbs 15:1 reads, "A gentle response turns away rage, but a hurtful word increases anger." Therefore, if we take the overall thrust of Proverbs, as these two Proverbs kind of exemplify, we can see that speaking in the right way and at the right time are of paramount importance for speaking with wisdom. And thus, we can conclude that in chapter 15, verse 23 here, the answer that gives the speaker joy should also be viewed as congruent with the pattern of the rest of Proverbs. Such an answer must entail using wisdom. One final thought about the second line is the question that I have asked myself on many occasions. What constitutes the proper time for a word to be spoken? We have probably all had the thought cross our minds before when we had a thought that we were going to share with others, and we thought, should I say something or should I just wait? I think that we are all looking to understand, when is the right moment to speak, and how can we know? Well, the proper time is the time that best suits the occasion for which the word is directed. When we give an answer that is fitting to the circumstances and in the best moment when it can be received by the listener, then we're demonstrating wisdom and knowledge in our speech. In contrast, the fool does not consider what he is about to say before he says it, and neither is he aware or cares much for the surrounding circumstances. He blurts out whatever comes to his mind at the time when he so desires, and in whatever way is convenient and pleasing to him. This is the basic difference between the way that a fool talks and the way that a wise person talks. The wise person considers the listener and the proper timing to be more important than any desire they might have. At this point, I must explain a caveat. The proverb is seeking to motivate the reader to understand the value of speaking when the time is right. Knowing the right time is the ideal case in life. But I'm sure, as all of us can testify in life, it never unfolds in a predictable way. Therefore, knowing the right time becomes difficult to determine. This relates back to the question about how can we know when is the right time to speak? Well, the answer that I offer from the book of Proverbs is that the right time is discovered through acquiring wisdom. Only with wisdom can a person discern the appropriate moment to speak. Every situation is different, and every situation calls for unique consideration. And therefore, there is no simple criteria to determine the right time in all circumstances. And thus, a wise person stands with readiness, poised to offer a fitting answer when the moment is right. And that moment comes about through acquiring wisdom, and wisdom exercised through experience and life. In order to illustrate the wisdom of this proverb, I want to take us back to the early and mid-20th century in the United States of America. This was a time in American history with unprecedented racial tension and discrimination. Near the end of the 19th century, American culture began changing. Certain states in the southern part of the United States began passing legislation requiring railroads to provide separate cars for white and colored passengers. Then something significant happened on June 7, 1892. An African American named Homer Plessy bought a ticket on a train from New Orleans bound for Covington, Louisiana, and he took a vacant seat in a white-only car. After refusing to leave the car at the conductor's insistence, he was arrested and jailed. He was convicted by a New Orleans court of violating the 1890 law that mandated segregation in railroad cars. However, Plessy filed a petition against the presiding judge, the Honorable John F. Ferguson, claiming that the law violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Well, in 1896, the U.S. Supreme Court rendered a verdict upholding the racial segregation as constitutional in the landmark case of Plessy v. Ferguson. As a result of this decision, what is known as Jim Crow laws, that is, laws that require separate public accommodations based upon race, these became commonplace in the South, and the cultural direction for the South was set in motion that would last for over half a century. Racial segregation would continue in the South as more and more states would pass laws preventing colored individuals from the same rights and privileges as white individuals. But then, on May 17th in 1954, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren would announce the unanimous ruling in the civil rights case Brown v. Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas, that state-sanctioned segregation of public schools was a direct violation of the 14th Amendment and was thereby unconstitutional. This would be one of the first major stones placed for building the road toward racial equality in America. You see, the 1950s and 60s in America are known as the Civil Rights Era because it was during this time that countless African Americans stood up for and spoke out against the racism that was being permitted and enforced by the United States government. One of the most famous civil rights activists was Martin Luther King Jr., who was born on January 15, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia. King grew up in the South, near the heart of the nation's racial segregation. And after finishing his graduate school, King was resolved to get involved in the civil rights movement and to bring an end to racial segregation. One of his first most influential campaigns protesting was the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955. Following the arrest of Rosa Parks on December 5, 1955, King rallied African Americans in Montgomery, Alabama, to exhibit civil disobedience and nonviolent resistance to segregation. This protest was one of the major contributing factors resulting in the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1956 declaring the Montgomery segregation bus laws as unconstitutional. Well, many protests transpired in the years that followed, but probably one of the most significant occurred in 1963, when King led the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in Washington, D.C., against racial discrimination for African Americans being excluded from employment positions and basic legal rights as U.S. citizens. On August 28, 1963, 250,000 civil rights supporters gathered in Washington, D.C. near the Lincoln Memorial. It was a hot and sweltering summer day, but it was a day that would define the future of America in ways few other days would. On the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King Jr. would deliver an iconic speech entitled, "I Have a Dream," urging America to demonstrate the racial equality its democracy thus promises and to liberate the African-American populace from the oppressive regime of discriminatory legislation against them. Most people who have either read or listened to King's speech will recall the famous line that has memorialized everything King was striving to accomplish in the civil rights movement. On that exceptional day in history, at the right time, when America was able to hear his voice clearly and his message would pierce their hearts, King heralded with boldness, with his usual passion and zeal, to see freedom for his fellow African Americans. He proclaimed, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." This was a defining moment in the civil rights movement, and one which will forever be remembered because King delivered a powerful and most fitting word at the right time and in the right way, with the result that its effects would ripple forth, changing the entire course of the nation's history. Now, we probably won't be giving speeches on the scale and grandeur like Martin Luther King Jr. in front of thousands of people, But in our personal social circles, in our families, and in our workplaces, there will be times when it will be the right moment to speak and to say something that can affect a decision that is made or how someone thinks or feels about something. And moments like these are what life is made of. As we seek to walk with wisdom and to give a fitting answer at the right time, we need to realize and be confident in the fact that our words can shape the future of others and can help them overcome an obstacle, be comforted when hurting, or give them courage to do what they know is right. Our words are powerful, and we must learn to speak what is right, in the right way, and most importantly, at the right time. This is how we will walk with wisdom and receive joy from the answer that we give to others.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.